Welcome, welcome, welcome to the mystical kingdom of this universe. Thank you for attending and hearing this episode. How are you guys doing, my fellow mystics, the builders, the architects, the alchemists, the travelers, the seekers of the truth, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the discernment, the understanding, the revelations of this knowledge and information that would set us free so we should not perish from lack of knowledge. It is your host, Mr. Alchemist, Mr. Raise Your Frequency Up, Mr. No Real Estate Investor Left Behind, coming to you down with this episode of the day. Hopefully you guys enjoy it and get some great info out of it. Let's dive in.
The hieroglyphics tell us the story of two visionaries, outcasts, not of this world. They led a band of ragtag followers carrying everything they had, pursued by forces of evil. The symbols show us they reached their destination, but what happens inside is a mystery.
And can't fix your car. Having the love of God is not the same as having the knowledge to fix stuff. That's why you need this teaching. You need to know, how do I use this equipment? Everyone who got a divorce still loved the person during the time when they were getting the divorce. They still loved them because you just can't dump the tool chest. The problem was they couldn't live together because there was so much ignorance. There was so much misunderstanding of how to use the tool. Makes me weep. People would abuse or hurt someone, and then they'd say, but I love you, I don't know why I did that. What they're saying is, I still got the agape, I'm still full of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know how to use the tools. That's why you need knowledge. Don't get married on love. People tell me they love you. Always remember what love is. What is love? The decision to commit and meet my needs for the rest of my life and expect nothing. That's love. So next time some guy or woman says to you, I love you, ask them, so that means you are going to meet my needs for the rest of my life and expect nothing from me? That relationship over. But that's what they are asking for. Christ didn't just save us. He keeps us. He supplies all of our needs. You gotta have something if you're gonna take him out the house. You gotta have something, brother. You gotta have something to care. Okay, here's what agape is. If you can tell a person why you love them, the love is canceled. It's no longer love. This is why nowhere in the Bible, nowhere on any page, does God ever tell us why he loves us. It doesn't exist in the Bible. Because the minute you give a reason, it's no longer love. The next time someone tells you they love you, ask them why and wait for the answer. Because the answer will be the destruction of the relationship. I guarantee it. Whatever they answer, will destroy the relationship. You don't believe me? Let's prove it. If there is a reason, it becomes a condition. I love you because you got a good job, but you better keep that job, brother. That's the condition, you see? I love you because you weigh 132 pounds, 36, 28, 42. Listen, you better stay that size all your life. It's a condition. I love you because you're an athlete and you've been in all the awards. Yeah, don't you ever get in an accident and get crippled from the neck down. Because the love is cancer. Wherever there is a reason, there's a condition. Step number two. Wherever there's a condition, it gets worse. There's expectation. I love you because you got long hair. But listen to me. You better not cut that hair. I expect you to keep your hair the way I like it. So the pressure is on, and when you start growing old and turn gray and start falling out, I don't want to see you anymore because it was the year that got me with you. It's a condition. Any condition becomes an expectation. It gets worse. The expectation will guarantee disappointment because nothing in life remains the same. You love a person because they, you know, are athletic or they got, you know, the Coke bottle shape. Listen to me, brother. After three babies, I'm putting up with you. She can't keep no Coke bottle. What you gonna do now? She look like her mother now. And that's why men go running around looking for these young women. They never loved you the first, but they love your shape. reflection of your shape so that you're looking for it again around the high schools. It's not love. It was a condition. She loved you because you got that job, CEO, at that company. And that company shuts down because the headquarters is overseas. And now you are down to zero, brother. I wonder if she still will live with you. Condition. She expects you to work there for the rest of your life. It gets worse. Expectation and disappointments will lead to divisions in a relationship. Have you ever heard this? I didn't expect it to come to this. What they're saying is there's a division in my expectation. You let me down. And the division results in the worst thing in the world. Divorce. By the way, the word division, look at it very carefully. DI means two. Vision means one. So when you have disappointment, you end up with two visions in the house. And Jesus said, any house division against itself cannot stand. Once you change and get two visions, it's over in the relationship. This is why love has no expectation. If I expect you to always make $100,000 a year, you're in trouble. You better never lose that job. But you can't control that. There are so many people in this place who are pressured because of expectation. I see women in the morning, 5 a.m., jogging. Why? Some dumb husband sitting over with a big belly saying, "You girl, you need to look right." She's under pressure. Expectation. Who do you think you are? You get a good job, you fat belly. Some women are under so much pressure to try and keep their husband's eyes on them that the stress is causing the woman to get cancer. Just the stress. Because that man doesn't know what love is. He starts saying things like, "Why don't you look like Cheryl? You're putting on too much weight, you know. You're not, look at this picture 10 years ago. That ain't you, see?" And they start putting pressure on you. That man need beaten by me. Bring him to me. I will whoop him. Because he forgot that his stomach is now bigger than his chest. And his head receded. Sometimes we forget that we change too. That's why our relationships ain't working. I expect nothing from my wife, Ruthann. Nothing. And today she'll tell you, "I expect nothing." She ironed my shirt. I told her, "What you doing?" "Why?" "Because I don't expect you to iron it." So I tell her, "Thanks." Every time she cooks, I tell her, "Thanks." Why? I ready. When I come, I'm ready to cook. When you expect nothing, you prepare to do it yourself. And when someone does it, you appreciate it. This is real. You walk in the house, "Bring my food, woman." "What you talking about? You just destroyed the relationship." "She been working all day too. What's your problem?" "She just got on 5 o'clock. What's wrong with you?" Listen, if you love someone, you anticipate the need. Why don't you bring food already cooked for her? Why don't you buy something for her? Anticipate she tired too. That's love. I wake up, get out of bed, and make the bed. My wife said, "What you doing?" I said, "I slept in this bed." She said, "You don't get to do it." I said, "I know, but I expect to do it. I don't expect you to do this." That's why we are so close. That's why we love each other so much. Because there's no reason for our love. You got to get rid of it. We got this unrealistic expectation. And here's the worst part. Divorce is a death. Ask anyone who's been divorced in this room. It's a death. Something died. So God simply says, "I so love you. I give myself." That's it. No reason. Never gives it. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us what? Love one another. For love comes from God." That's number one. That word love there is agape. Agape. Everyone who loves, agape, has been born from God and they know God. Whoever does not love, agape, does not know God, because God is agape. That's why the Bible says something else about love. I love it. It says, whoever does not love does not what? Even know God. He's talking about agape. Because God is love. Again, 1 John 4, read. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is the real love. It comes from God. First of all, you meet someone and they don't know God, but they look good. They smell good. They dress nice. They got a good job. They got powerful access to money. They got all the nice cars and the rides and the house. They got the house behind the gate. And they, oh, glory. Yeah. But they don't have God, it says. Now listen to me, friends. Even those who got God get trouble. Because someone tells you, "I'm saved," that ain't no qualification to marry them. All they tell you is they got a tool set. Don't know how to use a Christ thing in it, but I got a tool set. That's what I mean. I'm saved means I got a tool set. I got the stuff. Don't know how to use it. Now, don't get me wrong now. If you can take a chance with someone with a tool set. The verse says what? God is love. Watch this. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. That means this person got to be intimately covered by God. And even that's not enough. That's not enough. But at least got the raw material to work with. Let me explain why it's not enough. Love is a decision to commit to meet another person's needs for the rest of their lives without expectation. And that's a high order. That's love. What is love? Love is a decision to commit to meet the needs of another person for life without expectation. That's agape. Let me tell you something. If someone falls into phileo with you, that's friendship love. That means that's mutual agreement. You treat me nice, I treat you nice. You stop treating me right, I stop coming with you. I expect you to behave yourself, then I'll be with you. That's phileo. Eros says, you give me some, I give you some. I give you money, you give me sex. No money, no sex. You got expectations there, you see? So that's not love. Then you got stergo. Stergo is, we are friends as long as you don't hurt me. So there's expectation. But agape is this strange kind of love. It has no expectation. Write this down. Love is therefore caring for a person. Now, caring is defined as to anticipate a need and meet it right now. When you care about someone, you study what they need tomorrow and give it to them today. In other words, caring means I outthink you. If someone cares for you, they spend all their lives figuring out what you need next and give it to you now. Why would it be nice to be married to someone like that? People say they care for you. Check, see what they anticipated you needed. See if you got it. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? For he cared for you. The word cared, there's a Hebrew word. It means to anticipate a need and meet it. It says, God anticipated your need and met it before you even act. You know when God said, when you pray to him, watch God now. He said, pray to me for what you need. He said, pray. He said, now when you pray, remember, while you are speaking, I will say, here I am. And while you are even yet speaking, I'll say, here it is. In other words, even before you finish the sentence. Let me ask you a question. Did God die for you after you sinned? No, because that's not caring. When God created you, he anticipated the possibility that you might fall. So the Bible says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, just in case you fell. The Bible calls it a dowry. A dowry is caring. You go off and prepare a place, and then you come back and receive them unto yourself. Love is the manifestation of inherent nature of God. That's why God is love. And God cares all the time. It's when God's agape flow through the human spirit. That's true love. Let me define agape for you in a practical way. Don't ever forget to teach it to your children, because this is one of the most important sessions you ever had. The death of a marriage goes deeper. It creates dysfunctional families. So the kids grow up now with a defect. And usually a divorced parent will breed a divorced child who also gets a divorce. That's how deep that is. Just by the decision to have a reason for loving a person, it goes all the way to the social decay in a country. Social decay results in community destruction, because you are creating potential broken homes, broken hearts. We don't understand. It ain't kissing and hugging and touching nobody's body parts. Love is so deep, we are still in eros. We need to go to the kingdom level. So your relationship is personal, but it's never private. It affects all of us. Some of you in this room, your parents got a divorce, and you were 14 or maybe 12, and you are still trying to recover mentally. You live between two houses. You're making appointments to see your parent. I mean, this is not easy. There's psychological issues going on here that people don't understand. I talked to a young lady the other day. She said, Pastor Miles, I just want to see my daddy. I just want to see him. I understood what she was saying. I just want to see him. I'm at the age of my life now where I need to hear a father talk to me, she said. I got some decisions to make and I need a daddy. She was 22. Social dysfunction. I want you to just write this down. Promises are made to humans and can be broken. I love you. You're the only one I love. That's a promise. Don't trust that. They need to say that to God. And they are under judgment. Promises have no consequences. Vows have consequences. That is why when you make a vow before the altar, here's what you say. I promise to love you, to care for you, in sickness and in health, in riches and poverty. Watch this. Until death. The death is the judgment. It has an inherent judgment in it. Promises don't. An engagement is a promise. A marriage, a wedding, is a vow. You can break off an engagement without consequences before God, but you can't break off of harm. God will judge you. The folks in this room who have experienced living under judgment, they know what it feels like. They break that vow. They suffer some things, some death in their spirit, death in their emotions. They hurt so deep no one could explain the hurt. That's judgment. So if you're married, Paul says stay married. Fight for it. Try your best to put it back together. You don't want the judgment on you. This one gotta work, man. You got sense now. You know what to do. Let your children see you recovered and you know how to do it. If you've been divorced, thank God for this session. And if anybody will get you, tell them, listen to this too. 14 times. Because I ain't going twice in the wrong direction. You know, the kingdom standard for marriage is interesting. The kingdom says, if I propose to you to marry you as a woman, it says, I will pledge you my troth. We call it engagement today. That means I decided I want to commit to meet all your needs the rest of your life. And I expect nothing from you in return.
Inspiring habit.
A dowry is caring. You go off and prepare a place. And then you come back and receive them unto yourself. I know there are many conditions in this room. But I'm dealing with the hope part. Let the future be better than the present. You are not married? Learn this lesson today. If you have been married and you plan to get married again, learn this lesson today. Go into relationships with sobriety. Ask God to give you wisdom and make decisions, even though they may be hard decisions. Break off some relationship that ain't, you know, they ain't right. Break it off now because you're on your way to destruction. Some people are better off just staying single a little longer because the person you're going with, you too expensive. And I know all you women know what it is to marry a stingy man. Oh, Lord, he went over every penny gone. You got a bag to buy a pair of shoes for 3 weeks. I told you we don't understand love. Love is a high order. So you take notes good, and you have your conversations over coffee. You're interested in me? Let me find out if you understand what we're getting into here. Because I don't want you, you know, I got a good life right now. I mean, I'm a little lonely, you know, but I got a good life right now. So I don't want you messing with my loneliness. You gonna exchange your singleness for frustration? I'm talking to men too, you know. Some men doing fine, getting married a woman who's a parasite. She don't bring nothing to the relationship. Suck the lifeblood out of this guy. He lose everything. Some of you got some friends you involved with right now talking about you plan to get married. You better take this session to them. I said, let me check you out closely. Because my life is too important to walk around with a broken heart the rest of my life. We need sense. Let's go get some sense. Because we are destroying our country. Because we don't understand love. You love this man. You put no condition on him. He may get fired in the morning or get laid off. And he comes home with a pink slip. Man, what you going to do? And he tells you, we got to move back in an apartment. We got to give up this house. Do you still love him? Or do you attack him? You're a failure. I should have never married in the first place. Woman, you need Jesus. Your expectations create the problem. I love you if you got nothing. I love you if you got something. What love is this? That's the love that works. Let that love be shed upon your heart by the Holy Spirit. You come down that aisle in your white dress, and you stand there with your tuxedo and your black suit, and you stand before God, and you start opening your mouth. Here's what God says. When you make a vow to God, to fulfill it, because God has no pleasure in fools. He called you a foolish person if you stand there saying, I love you till death do I part, and you don't know what you're talking about. You make a vow, he says, and you don't fulfill it. I have no pleasure in fools. So fulfill your vow, he says. It is better not to vow, verse 5, than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth, it says, do what? Lead you into sin. Don't rush to no altar. By the way, the most important statement in that verse is God. You never make vows to people. You make promises to people. Vows are only made to God. What you're telling God is, if I don't keep this, you can judge me. It's different from a promise. You can break a promise, but you can't break a vow. Because a vow attracts judgment. He says, do not protest to the temple messenger and say, my vow was a mistake. I made a mistake marrying you. God said, you should never come to this house and say that in front of me. These are verses you never saw. I made a mistake. Why should God be so angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words. dreams are meaningless. He said, you're dreaming, man. I love you. And in sickness and in health, poverty and wealth, riches for poorer. Yeah, boy, we don't mean that. You broke, I gone. Riches good, poorer, I gone. We make vows. God says, what are you doing? These words you put in my hands, you're giving me the power to judge you. This ain't to no preacher. This is to me. Take your time. He says, therefore, stand in awe of God. That means don't rush to no church with no bride dress. Don't buy no tuxedo too fast and get 5 minutes damage with bow tie. Slow down. He says here, be in fear of God. Be afraid to come down that aisle. Our problem is we ain't afraid no more. But if it doesn't work, I guess I'll get another one. Let me go down here and try this one. And you keep changing people. And both parties do it. Everyone doing it. It's like people think this is the game. God says, look, be afraid of me, because I will judge you. You tell me why you love me, and I am in trouble. Because now I got to maintain what you expect. It's too much pressure. You want to destroy a community? Find a reason for your love. Conditions destroy. I don't know why I love you. May God have mercy on us.
Well, hello there, my fellow mystics and alchemists, seekers of the truth, the knowledge, and the wisdom that will set us free. Here we are today on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God we're alive. Another day, another dollar. Whatever quote, whatever shenanigans you want to say, just be thankful you're up and going. So we're going to dive into this message as it's going to get you up and going and pumped from the get-go. This is Saul Lujan, Mr. Alchemist, putting this for you, the Universal Mystics.
Achieve something great in your life, you've got to be willing to accept who you really are right now. You've got to know exactly what you're good at and what you're not. And the reason that the truth is going to piss you off is it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt to acknowledge that you're not yet who you want to be. It's going to hurt to know that you're not yet capable of the things that you want to be capable of. And it's really going to hurt to know that the things that people say behind your back, the things that they say to hurt you, they're actually true, that they're right, they have a point. You aren't good at that thing. You aren't as good as you could be. You did embarrass yourself. You have fallen down. All of those things are almost certainly true. But when you can look at those things, when you can stare nakedly at your inadequacies, when you can really stop and not protect yourself with ego, but protect yourself by knowing that you're going to learn from where you failed. You're going to learn from the places you've fallen down. You're going to learn your inadequacies so that you can build something new, so that you can move from that place into a place of purpose, into a place of skill set, where you can dominate the field because you've built those skills. But if you don't first acknowledge that you need to build them, you can never begin the process in earnest. And as Michio Kaku says, all great ideas come from a picture. You've got to know what you want. You've got to know what that thing is that you're building towards. You've got to know exactly who you're trying to become. And once you have that crystal clear vision of who you want to be, it is far easier to acknowledge who you really are. So you've got to start with that picture. You've got to accept the reality, pain and all. You've got to have that picture. You've got to know where you're going. You've got to know what the skills are that you need to build in order to get there. And once you do that, once you have that picture, and that picture is your obsession, it's the thing that you think about, you dream about, you put it up on your wall, you tattoo it in your mind, you know exactly who you're trying to become. If you do that, if you are honest with yourself about where you are, and you know exactly where you want to go, you can go anywhere. As Kendrick Lamar said, it was always me versus the world, until I found it's me versus me. I think that's where most of us start. We think that there's something outside that we're struggling against. We think that literally the world is against us and we're raging against something, but we don't even know what that thing is that we're raging against. And as you fight and try to make your way, and as you try to accomplish something incredible, you find that you're not making any headway. And that moment that you finally begin to break through and build something extraordinary. In that moment, the realization is that it was always you trying to figure out how to become the best version of yourself. And once you grasp that, once you let the noise die away, once you stop worrying about what other people think, what other people want, what other people have accomplished, what other people have, once you let go of all of that and ask one simple question, how extraordinary can I become? What am I capable of? What are my limits? How far can I push myself in this time that I have on this earth? Exactly how much of my potential can I wring out of myself? And by that, I don't mean something mystical. By that, I mean, how much can I become capable of? How far can I push myself? What can I build? How can I change this world? But all by doing one simple thing, pushing myself to get better every day. And as Napoleon Hill said, strength and growth come only through continuous effort and struggle. So the irony is, when you let go of trying to please the world, when you let go of trying to change the world, when you stop trying to move mountains, you will realize that a far harder struggle awaits you. And that struggle is becoming something new. That struggle is becoming something different. That struggle is recentering yourself, finding out who you are, building yourself piece by piece, until finally you realize what it takes to actually become a better version of yourself. You realize that it takes nothing less than your everything, your total commitment, every bit of focus that you have, a willingness to break yourself down so that you can build yourself back up. But if you're willing to put in that effort, if you're willing to transform, if you're willing to change and fight and struggle, you will be rewarded with growth. You'll be rewarded with improvement. You'll be rewarded with the ability to close your eyes, imagine a world, and then open your eyes and make that world come true. As Maya Angelou said, if you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. That's some of the best advice you're ever going to hear. At the end of the day, you should always be trying to change the things that you have the ability to change. There are inevitably going to be things that you can't change, but you're never helpless. You're never a victim. In that moment, you still have the unbelievable ability to choose to look at it in a new way, to choose to reframe it. And in that reframing, you change everything. You don't just change your own neurochemistry. You're not just changing the way that you feel. You're actually changing the way that you're going to approach the problem. Something that was moments before, something that seemed impossible, something that was breaking your will to continue to fight, with a change in attitude becomes something completely different. And as Hans Selye said, adopting the right attitude can turn a negative stress into a positive one. And that game of mental jujitsu is what it's about. That game of flipping something on its head, of turning something around, of seeing it in a new way, so that you can act in a new way, is how you make forward progress. And understanding that, understanding the need to take control of your perceptions, understanding that, understanding your need to change your perspective, that's how you begin to get ahead. Once you understand that your perspective is a choice, it is not objective truth. Burn that into your mind. It is not objective truth. The world that you see around you is simply the perspective through which you see it. All of life is a funhouse mirror. And when you acknowledge that, when you understand that you're looking at a distorted view of the way the world is, you realize that you can adopt a different distortion. You can adopt a distortion that allows you to see things more clearly, that allow you to see things in a way that empower you. And that should always be the first step, is figuring out not what is, not what you can change, but instead understanding what you need to change it to. And understanding that that change comes from inside you. It isn't a manifestation that you have to make in the outside world first. It's a change you have to make inside yourself. It is a shift of perspective. It is simply stepping to the side of what you're used to and how you're used to seeing things, and understanding that in reframing things, you take that negative and turn it into something that builds you up. But you've got to choose. You've got to decide. You've got to believe that you can do it. Once you believe that you can see things in any way that you need to reach your goal, Luther said, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." Some things you build, whether you can control the outcome or not. Sometimes it's the process that is the thing that's meant to be enjoyed. It's the process that you're meant to invest in. And rather than always thinking about the goal, the outcome, or what you're going to get out of something, focus on the something. Focus on the part of it that you can control. Because you can't always control the outcome. You can't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us. And yet we all act. And yet we create momentum in our lives when we're at our best. But we do that not because we can control every aspect. We do that because we accept that there are things that we cannot control. And as Steve Maraboli said, incredible change happens in your life when you decide to take control of what you do have power over instead of craving control over what you don't. And that's where a lot of people get lost. They focus not on what they have in their hands. They focus instead on the things that they can't control. It irritates them. It frustrates them. It's like a splinter in their mind. They can't stop thinking about the things that they don't have control over. And they're blinded to the incredible wealth that is around them of things that they could enjoy right here, right now. That's why gratitude is such an empowering practice, to sit there and not think of the glorious things that may await you in your future, but rather to think about the things that you have here in this moment. Oxygen in your lungs, a simple breeze on your face, a window in your house, someone that you love, someone that loves you. Nothing that costs money, nothing that was the pot of gold at the end of a glorious rainbow. It's not even about becoming something extraordinary and waiting for the results of that. It's simply understanding that the one thing you can control are your actions today, the choices that you make, what you get to do, how you think about yourself, the beliefs you choose to bring into your life, those things you control. And when you understand the power in acknowledging that control and taking control and using it, that's when your life is going to begin to change. But first, you have to divorce yourself from being obsessively interested only in an outcome. If instead you build your self-esteem, you build your pride on pursuit, you build your pride on allowing yourself to care about something so deeply that even though tomorrow is not guaranteed, that you're going to plant your apple tree today, that you're going to love that process because it is the thing that you can control. You can control how you show up. You can control how you play. You cannot control how other people react. You cannot control what they think about you. But you can control what you think about yourself. You can earn credibility with yourself. You can control what you do. And when you take full ownership of that and realize that your life is an exact reflection of your choices, of the things that you could control and what you did with them, then everything begins to change. You're not looking to blame somebody else. You're not even worried about anybody else. You're just asking one simple question. What can I do right now, regardless of tomorrow, to improve my life today? Focus there, and you'll enjoy every day of your life.
Amen, amen, amen. So let it be, it shall be, it will be done, and it is so. Bam, I hope that message got you guys going. Hope you guys are understanding the power of coming to know the glory of the Most High, the Supreme Being. Because He gave us the ability to think like this, to think big, huge, not think small, not just get here and go to work and come home and go to bars. And if that's the life that you're living right now and you're tired of it, we're calling you to come make a change. For you understand you have a purpose in this world, in this life, in this reason why you're listening to this message and you're still listening to me talk. Because this message got to you. It's touching your soul. It's touching your spirit. It's rekindling the fire within you to show you that you are great and you have known all your life you've been great. Now, it's time to mingle with like-minded people from No Real Estate Investor Left Behind and Project Alchemy. We are a group of individuals that we're working together from all over the world, building partnerships, friendships, fellowships, to be able to build a better person, a better community, and hopefully a better world. If you're interested and want to know more, send us a message, give us a call. But for now, I hope this got you guys going and thinking and knowing that you are great and you have here a purpose and you shall do your purpose. So signing out, Mr. Alchemist, Saul Lujan, the Universal Mystic from the plane of existence all over the world. We come here before you to understand the knowledge of wisdom and understanding it's given to you and gives us the revelations, O Heavenly Father. So we thank you for another day of paradise, being alive in your presence. We give you gratitude. We give you thank you. We give you ourselves, for you are doing the works through us, Father. We thank you, we pray, and we move forward. Sign out. Don't forget to like, share, and comment with all your friends. Well, hello there, my fellow seekers of the truth. How you guys doing today? It's your host, Mr. Alchemist, Mr. Raise Your Frequency Up, Mr. No Real Estate Investor Left Behind. How you guys doing today? I hope you guys are enjoying this episode that we have created for you guys to help you in your growth, in your expansion, in your self-development, in your revelations, in whatever you're doing. Hopefully, we're helping you guys grow much bigger and getting closer to your step. Southern State Management has been doing this for over 28 years. Pardon me, 28 years we've been in the self-development, self-growth, better producing, better creating ourselves and development systems, products and services to be able to help and maneuver some hurdles around the way. Some of the hurdles are financial wealth, financial literacy, understanding your rights, business ownership, business systems. So these are some of the projects and services that we have through No Real Estate Investor Left Behind and Project Real Estate Alchemy and Project Alchemy. If you guys are interested to want to know more, give us a call, 915-247-8784. Again, that's 915-247-8784. And for every person that gives us a call, we will give you a free savings account. This savings account is established in gold. That's right, our investment in you and in your self-worth, we're investing it in gold. So give us a call, 915-247-8784. So please share, like, comment. Talk to you guys later. Self-development, know thyself.